Reverend Savoe and Christina Lawali. We are so pleased to have them with us tonight. Savoe is the Director of Student Ministries at Missouri State University Chi Alpha, and we all know the wonderful work that happens through that ministry, and we have been blessed here in our church by their work at MSU, and we are so grateful for that. And I'm just going to turn it over to Savoe, and he can introduce his wife. Lord bless you, Savoe.
Excuse me, please. Sorry, I put this back. Pleasure to be here with you guys. First thing, I just want to say thanks for allowing me to be here with you. Pastor Jeff sent me a text. I do not know what time it is. I think they're 6 hours ahead.
It was around 4:55, so it might have been around almost 11. He sent me a text, and he's just saying, praying for you. Thanks for speaking tonight. Please pass my greetings to the church tonight. So on behalf of him, just wanted to say, Pastor Jeff says hi, and how this worked out. Yes, it is Super Bowl. I am from Kenya, and you know, if it was the World Cup, it would have been a different story. I would not be here, but this is Super Bowl, and American football, which is no offense meant with this, but it really isn't football. You're throwing the thing and you're not kicking it, and you wear pads, so it's a little different, I must say. But anyway, it's such an honor to be here with you tonight. My wife and I are thrilled to call this our home church. We've been so blessed to be a part of this congregation, and really proud of our home church. And so it was an honor for me to be here to share with you today. I want to start off just by saying thanks to you, to all of you here at Central. You have loved us and cared for us from the very beginning. In fact, Central has been so pivotal in Chi Alpha from as much as I've known as the history of Chi Alpha. And MSU or SMS, as when I went to school there, MSU Chi Alpha is the Alpha chapter of Chi Alpha all over the U.S. And so that's where it started. And from the beginning, from what I understood, Central has been integral in all of that. And so to you tonight, I just want to say thank you so much for your continual prayer, for your investment in us, and for loving us, and for supporting the missionaries that have come before and that invested in my wife and my life as well. So I just want to say thanks. I just feel such a huge debt of just gratitude for what God has, what you have done to be able to enable us to be as ministers in Chi Alpha at Missouri State University. So thank you so much. I know that last year, my wife and I got to go to Kenya on a mission trip, and that's part of what we do, and you guys helped us with that. Again, thanks. Thanks so much. We don't take any of those things for granted. Lately, some of our students have been coming to church here, and that has been so exciting for me to see the international students coming to Central, and they just love it. They really enjoy being here at church with you. So thanks so much for not only caring for us, supporting us, helping us, praying us through, and supporting the missionaries that were here before, but now even as other students that we're actually ministering to are coming, you're still continuing to love them. The Lord bless you greatly for all of that, and I just so appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. So you may, I wanted to share with you some about Chi Alpha, and most of you probably knowing quite a bit about it. Chi Alpha is a ministry to college students on the secular campus. And it's a very strategic ministry because we are reaching out to the future leaders that are learning today and tomorrow they will lead. It's really interesting to think about the students that are in the dorms right now, that in the future they will be the leaders of this nation or other nations. And but that's the way it works. And God has so found it fit that on campus that he desires that they would come to know him. So on campus, we are those who are sent by God. God, Christ's ambassadors on the campus, urging the students to be reconciled, motivated by Christ's love, be reconciled to God, transforming the university, the marketplace, and the world. So that's our heart. That's who we are, and that's what we're trying to do. And some of my story, I've told you a little bit that I was involved in Chi Alpha. I came here in 1996, and I've been here for a long time, I think. And I came here in 1996. And as soon as I arrived, I was already a Christian. I had just gotten saved 4 years before that in Kenya. And God had just wonderfully met me, transformed my life, and given me new hope. And at a very pivotal time, at a time when I was making some really bad decisions. And before I began or even had the opportunity to enact them, God saved me. And so I just thank the Lord for how he revealed himself to me. So when I came to the U.S., and I was thinking, I need to find a campus ministry I can get involved in. Never had heard about Chi Alpha. Springfield was the introduction for me for the Assemblies of God. And so I didn't know anything about all of this. And so when I came, I did what I thought was the good thing to do. And so I interviewed some campus pastors. I went to their campus ministries and asked them, tell me about your ministry. And they would tell me, and my big question to them was the thing that I thought was so essential for me, was that I asked them, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And they would say, yes, we do. Then I'd ask them, do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they'd tell me no. And I'd say, thank you, see you later. And I moved on. So I moved on from one to another. And it was only when I went to Chi Alpha that I asked that question, and they answered. And they said, yes, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the campus pastor, when I asked him that, he thought I was crazy. He said, yeah, of course we do believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe Chi Alpha has been and continues to be, has been such a godsend to me. It's been a godsend to me that in Chi Alpha, I grew more and more in the Lord. And they gave me family, community on the campus, and challenged me and encouraged me to be a witness on the campus, to continue to grow. And they gave me opportunity to try to lead and to succeed or fail. But I knew that I could count on them. They would be there for me. And it was such a wonderful experience for me being in Chi Alpha. So much that I even met my wife in Chi Alpha, and that just made why Chi Alpha is so wonderful to me, is because I met my wife there. But I saw her, she came in the fall of 1997, I was there in 1996, and I had never seen a girl that played the bass guitar, and she stuck in my mind, and I pursued her from then on, and then she's my wife. We've been married for 8 years. But she also, Christina, if you don't mind, this is appropriate, I just ask you to stand and say hi. And this is my precious wife, Christina. And so we do ministry together. She was called to the ministry before I even realized that I was going to do ministry. And she was already a licensed minister, went to AGTS and everything. And then we got married right after graduate school. We have three kids. And as you can see in the picture, we have three kids. Imani is four. Joshua is 2.5, and Severin the second is 9 months, and they're such a joy. We're so blessed with such wonderful kids, and that's such a blessing for us. At MSU, we have two different meetings. If you ask me, what does it look like on campus? We have two different meetings, two separate meetings for our Chi Alpha group. One is on Monday night, and that is the American students get together and meet on Monday night, and that's thriving under the leadership of our director, Andy Estrella. And he's doing such a great job. And I'm so proud of him and so excited that he's our new director. And he's been there about 2 years now. And God's really using him powerfully. But on Monday nights, if you go to a typical Monday night, we just have a worship service and have a powerful message. And Andy normally leads that. And we're having about 100 students that are coming regularly on Monday. And they're getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're getting saved. Last Monday, somebody rededicated their heart to the Lord. And so we're just seeing so many things happening. And part of what's happening is that we're starting to see more students now saying that, hey, I really want to do this. I want to do ministry. I want to start serving God. And so it's really encouraging for us when we see our students start to see that they can actually use their life to serve God. So that's what that looks like on Monday night. And then you come on Friday night. On Friday night, we get together with the international students. And there's a reason for Friday night, and there's a reason for why we do it this way. It's not, we're separate, we're all under Chi Alpha's umbrella. Andy gives direction to all of us, and I help oversee the international student ministry. But on Friday night, if you came, it would be a lot different. International students, like I used to be, would come to the U.S. because they want to study. They come here because they really want to study. I know a lot of my American friends go to college, and it's like they really don't want to study. And I don't blame them, but international students come here with a focus. They know that they're here to get this education and go back, make big money, and help their families or achieve whatever goal they have. So they're really focused. And if we ask them for any other night during the week, to come to a meeting, they will not come because they have either studies or they have a class or they, you know, those are the two things that normally we clash with. So we said, why not Friday? And so they come on Fridays. And when they come on Fridays, like any international meeting that you should have, if you ever do have an international thing, make sure there's food. Make sure there's food. So we have food. So we have a meal, and then after our meal, we have worship. And after worship, we would have the preaching, which I'm normally the one who preaches, and then after that, we have small groups. So it's everything on one night. And it's because they won't give you another night. And what has happened that started out in our living room, we were meeting with students, and we were just hanging out with them. We would love and serve them, and has grown to where it was about 20 students, and now regularly we have about 50, 60 students that come regularly. And we're praising God for that. We're at a very exciting time for us because now we're actually having international students who are Christians that are being discipled and that are leading. Friday night, last Friday, was a first for us. We've always had somewhat of a worship team, but this time I looked at the worship team and there was an Indian guy playing the drums, and there's a Chinese girl leading worship, and there's a Rwandese guy playing the guitar. And I remember this was a dream. We thought that this would take a long time to happen, but praise God that the nations of students are being trained how to serve God and use their talents and giftings for Him to lead others to come to know the Lord. So who are these international students? And I'm sure you've met some of them. In fact, I don't know Pastor Daisuke, if there are still four more Chinese students that need a home, I would encourage you to adopt an international student. About 90% of the international students never get to walk into an American home. And you think, well, that's not such a big deal. Yes, it is for them. You know, if you came to Kenya, I would let you come to my home. You would meet my mom and my dad, and they would make sure you do not leave until we fed you, and then they'd make sure you try and stay for a day or two or three. And you would have to come into my home. That is a part of hospitality. In the U.S., that's really different. So for me to be your friend means I meet your family. And in America, most of the international students that come here never really get to meet Americans. But not only is that important, but also the other thing that is so key in this, and that the best way to get to reach out to the international student is through relationship. And if you just love on them and befriend them, it changes everything. There are many, many international students that have come to know the Lord because somebody has just befriended them. So I encourage you, those Chinese students that need a home to be adopted by some of you guys, would you please do that? You will be changing their lives. You would be changing their lives for eternity. So we have about 1,500 international students at MSU. Majority of them from China. And China just seems to take over all of the world. That's just the way it looks like it. And so majority of them from China. And then we have another good large number from Saudi Arabia. And I don't know how many of you last went to Saudi Arabia as a missionary. It is difficult to get into that place, isn't it? But God is sending those students to us. I like what Paul says in Acts, and I just borrow it to use it for my own purposes. But he says this, that God is the one who determined the set times and places where people would live. And he does it for a reason. In essence, he's doing it so that they would seek him. Perhaps they would reach out to him and find him, though he's not afar off. So God is the one who is bringing all these students, 700 and about 20,000 of them, to the U.S. to study. Purpose, that they would know Jesus, that they would seek him, that they would reach out to him and find him while they're here. So it's so much bigger than them just studying. And so we're thrilled to be able to reach out to them. God has brought them here. We reach out to them. And we're trying to be able to change some things for them. You know, many students that come, we do normally just befriend them and love on them and do things for them. And that's what was happening while I was in Chi Alpha, that I was one of about four international students that was regular at the group. And you guys probably never think about this, but it's intimidating to go into a room full of Americans. I could always tell where Americans are, especially when I travel. And I just need to open my ears and I look for the loudest group and I'd be like, that's the Americans. It is true. If you go to the airports, you go anywhere, I could always tell who the Americans are. It's intimidating to walk into a group full of Americans. It really is. But there's something else that we do, you know, when we serve the international students, when we go out, we challenge and train people to go out, meet this international student, and love on them, and serve them. And so, while we do that, one of the things that happens is the international students come, and they love it, and then some of them give their hearts to Jesus, and we praise God for that. But do you know what ends up happening is that they end up going back home. They end up going back home. For example, I have a friend, one of our students is Philip. He's from Indonesia. He's the one who gave me this shirt. And Indonesia has the largest Muslim population in the world. And when I think about Philip going back home to live for Christ, it's a difficult thing. If I put it in that context, for me to just love on Philip and then not disciple him means that I'm basically sending him back home, and I'm expecting that there's something about that plane ride back to Indonesia that will transform him into a missionary. Something magical is supposed to happen to Philip. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be. That isn't the way that it's supposed to be. And so one of the things that God has really challenged us about is not only loving and serving the international students, but discipling them, but training them. And so we've got to put Christianity into a context other than a part of their American experience. Because in Indonesia, in Saudi Arabia, maybe even in China, it's not like they'll go there and they'll think, oh, wow, my American friends are not there to lead me in worship or do any of that kind of stuff. I'll just slip back into my culture. And Christianity was fun, but I'm not in America now and I can't really live for Jesus. We have to change that. The international student is the missionary. If we're going to reach the world, we've got to reach them through the international students. If God brings them here, it's for a purpose that they would know him. If they go back, it's for a purpose that they would go back knowing him to tell others about Jesus. That's just simply what it is about. So our hearts really is to disciple the international students, to train them and equip them. Another thing that we normally do is to try and serve the campus. In our context at MSU, we're privileged to be able to have a campus ministry on a secular campus. And it's not always the same for every single campus here in the U.S. So we try and just serve the campus in different ways. One of the things that we do every year is do a furniture giveaway where we collect good used furniture and provide it for the international students. And we do this in a way to serve the university. It makes the university look good because the international students come here and they're like, wow, MSU is really helping us. And MSU gives us their basketball arena, and we put all the furniture that is given by people like you. We put the furniture, good use furniture, in one room, and they come through and they pick this out. And that's a picture of all the students coming through to pick out furniture. And every year I look at them, and we've done it for about 5 years. I look at these students, and I wonder who among them is going to become a follower of Jesus. Because God has brought every single one of those here so that they could seek him. Perhaps that they would reach out to him and know him. But while we are serving the campus, it gives us so much favor. God has allowed us to be able to give voice to the university about the needs international students have, to be able to actually help interview some of the faculty, because that's the university asked me to help interview some of the faculty to come and help the international students, do different things with the international students. So God has really opened doors for us. The university sees that we are very friendly with them. We want to serve them. We're there to help them. We're there to serve the needs of the international students. Continue to pray with us that God would open more and more doors, that we would have a platform to be able to share Christ with them, meeting the needs of international students, but then also being able to share Christ with them as we do that. The fourth thing that I think is so, by the way, I've been giving you a list in case you didn't know. But the fourth thing that I think is so key that we do is networking. I have been so blessed. I love Springfield. I really wanted to leave Springfield as soon as I graduated, but now I really love Springfield. And you know why? Because of the people I have met here. I've met such precious people here in Springfield that have loved on me, that have shown me a side of God that I hadn't seen before in Kenya. And so when our international students come here, I think they're coming to one of the best places. And so my job is to be able to introduce them to this network that I have of those who are called Christ followers. And so I want to be able to connect international students with you, with the Christians in this community, which is why the adopt-a-student thing is so important. That is why it is so important, because I cannot reach out to all the international students. Pastor Daisuke and Pastor Yuriko cannot reach out to all the internationals. We need you to be able to reach out to them. God has brought them here again, that they would seek him,
Perhaps reach out to him and find him. And then go home and be the missionaries to their own people. There's this picture there with Jason. I don't know how many of you know Jason. Jason, 2 years ago, was getting water baptized over here. About 2 years ago, was getting water baptized here. And then just recently, he helped me water baptize Jack. Jack is the one holding the pillow that my son or daughter marked on with a pen. So in case you can't see it, don't worry. But Jack came to us. He was here at the furniture giveaway. And he continued to come to spend time with us. Long story short, he came to this point to where he found out that he really wanted to give his heart to Jesus. He says in his own words, "I began to suspect Buddha and begin to believe in Jesus." And so he called me one night. It was a Sunday night. And he asked me, come pray for me. I'm ready to become a Christian. I said, okay, I'll come. So I came over and Jason, sure enough, was there. And we were talking to Jack. And then I was about to pray and something very, very significant happened to me that night. As I'm about to pray with Jack, the Spirit of God just tells me, no, you will not pray for him. And that was, you know, I rebuked that in Jesus' name because the Lord would not tell me not to pray. But then as I continued, I really literally was trying to pray and I couldn't pray. And so I looked up and I felt like the Lord was telling me, Jason's supposed to do this. And what happened for me in that moment was God was actually in a very good visual way showing me this is what this is about. Jason is the missionary. You're supposed to train Jason. And so I asked Jason, would you lead him in the sinner's prayer? He led him in the sinner's prayer. Some of you guys were here when he was getting water baptized, and Jason did a great job baptizing him in water. But the night that Jack got saved, I told Jason that, Jason, what you have just done is what is to be expected from you for the rest of your life. You are called to be a witness. And then I looked at Jack, and it was wonderful to be able to tell Jack that, Jack, what Jason has just done, you can do that too. Now go do it. And I'm so thrilled to see and to let you guys know that the students are doing that on the campus. And many more are getting saved. Jason just got baptized in the Holy Spirit recently when we were at a conference. I'm really excited about that. And he's actually looking about how he can give a year to do Chi Alpha. In fact, he's looking about giving a lifetime doing ministry, not just campus ministry, because we have this door that's open for us. There are two campuses in China that continue to send international students to us. They have this 2+2 program, which 2 years in China and 2 years in the U.S., and a connection that MSU has with them. So for I don't know how many years, we will continue to have the stream of Chinese students coming to the U.S. And so we need people like Jason to be able to help us reach out to more Chinese students. I'm telling you this so you would pray with us. I'm really keen on seeing him getting a religious worker's visa so he can stay and help us. His heart is not actually to stay here. He really wants to go back to China. But he says that if God wants me to do that, then I will. But pray with us. There's many more like Jason. There's many more like Jack who believe in Buddha or believe in Allah and actually come to our meetings. We have two Muslim students that always come to our meetings. There's many others that do not know Jesus yet, and they will. And there are others who are being discipled. And I pray that God would just use them mightily in the time that they're there with us. But that's just what's going on. I just had a whole bunch of other pictures. You know, we talk about Chi Alpha and what's going on, but you don't really get to see it. Those are some of the guys that most of those got saved within the last year. Then there's another slide after that. This is what our worship service looks like. We meet at the First and Calvary Presbyterian Church on campus. And that's one of our worship services. There's another slide after that, and that's our students just worshiping Jesus. Up in front is the international students leading worship. Then there's another slide after that. That's just more of our regular meeting. Ray, thanks so much for all of this. Those are some of our students that went to the conference with us, and God just did amazing things in their lives. And we move on to the next slide. That is our staff. I don't know if you can really see that. A Chinese student, a student from Rwanda, a student from India, and a student from Ghana. That was a dream. That was a dream. And I just feel like pinching myself every time I walk into a meeting with them. These are internationals that are here on the campus, that are here in the U.S., that are living for God. And that they're reaching out to other international students. I praise God that I can get to see that. And I'm just so thrilled about that. I don't know if there's any other slides. That's my son. He's not listening to me. And I don't know if there's any other slides that are there. That's it. But I just really ask you guys, would you pray with us? Pray with us for our campus. There's so many international students. We are getting more help. And now it's just a different thing. It moved from our living room. Now it's a bigger meeting, and we're dealing with more people and more staff and student leaders. And so for us, we're growing. And in the midst of that, our kids, you know, are also growing. And so it's a balance of family and ministry. We appreciate your prayers and even your wisdom with that. I know so many of you have gone through that. We're new to this, and we're excited about what God is doing. But pray that God would continue to have his hand on what's happening on the campus and move powerfully in and through us, that many international students would come to know who he is. You know, there's something that I've been sharing with our students, and I just want to take a few minutes here and share this in a sense that, you know, some of you guys will get to go back home and watch the Super Bowl, so I'm not going to keep you here too long. But that just something that God has laid on my heart. And, you know, I've been talking to our students about godliness, and there's such an issue, a problem with understanding godliness. I simply tell them godliness is being like Christ, that we were predestined to be conformed into the image of God's Son, that God, that the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we are supposed to grow in every way to become more and more like who? Like Christ. And so I'm challenging these students that is what this, if you're struggling with what Christianity is about, I say that's what it is. God wants you to become like his Son. And so we're challenging our students about that. And there's such a big problem because they're struggling with what does godliness look like? For the non-Christians, they have no concept of it. For the Christians, they have such a mixed, different way of looking at it. Sometimes they really struggle with it. And so we've been talking about it, and I give them different images of it, and just to be able to understand them, it's really basic. But last week we were looking at a focused person, and I was saying that a godly person is a focused person. And you may think, well, what does that have to do with being godly? Well, in this sense, that Jesus, when he was asked what is the most important commandment, said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and then to love. And he said that this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally important. And so we're talking to them about being focused on the important things, prioritizing what is important, loving God with everything that you are, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So therefore, being godly means to be focused on the things that Jesus, that God is focused on. And so we've been talking about that, but you know, I talk about a focused individual. I think of myself. I'm so easily distracted by so many things. I start out with really good intentions, but I don't always end up with, you know, where I need to be. And my wife helps me out a lot by not getting distracted. But I think in life we continue to lose focus of that which is essential, that which is the most important thing. I have done that many times. In fact, I just want to share with you something that happened about 2 years ago. I'd just been in campus ministry 2 years, and I was struggling. I was really struggling. We're just fully appointed missionaries and nationally appointed missionaries, and I was really struggling at that point. Now in hindsight, I think that I just needed to change. I just needed to calibrate some of using what Pastor Jeff has been talking about. I needed to get perspective, and I thank God that he gave me perspective. And as far as what is the most important thing. And so here's some of the things I was dealing with. I don't know if you guys can relate to this. I mean, it's just been 2 years, but it felt like it'd been a long time. And so I felt like, wow, God, I have so much to offer, but seem to be doing nothing, or very small things that just don't seem to amount to much. And I kept thinking, there's got to be more. I want to see God move on our campus. And I wrote down some of my thoughts. I want to see God move on the lives of the students in a powerful way like I know he can. Now, I was frustrated about the gap between where I was and the dream. And we all dream. We know that God can do great things. But I was really frustrated. It had just been 2 years, and I was so frustrated. I was discontent and frustrated about the situation we were in with our building. It was really rough, and you guys helped pray us through that. You know, now we sold the building, and we're not in there anymore. We're in such a better situation. I praise God for that. But it wasn't only the building. That was such a burden. But then you'd seen the ministry grow from about 350 to where on Monday nights we were having 50 students. And that was hard for Christina and I, because we had been a part of the ministry that whole time. We were one of the biggest Chi Alpha groups in the country. And to come to about 25 students that are meeting regularly was really, really hard. And so we were dealing with that. We were worried and frustrated about our lack of funds. The recession had just hit. We had raised support, and then somehow through that time, we had lost a lot of our support as well. And we had just had our first daughter, Imani. And so life was rough when it came to financially as well. We were frustrated about the results that I was seeing, that we've been seeing after putting in so much work. You know, now that I look at it, I want to laugh because it was only 2 years. And I was already frustrated. In a general sense, I was frustrated and just discontented. And as I was going through this, I said, God gave me perspective. And he gave me perspective of leading me to a book in the scriptures, where I was looking at a man who had every right to be frustrated, a man who pushed through and who struggled with a lot of different things, who, not because of what he didn't do, but because of what other people didn't do. And as I was reading what he said, and the man is Caleb. Caleb comes up to Joshua after they have moved in the promised land. They have gotten rid of about 31 different kings. Moses has died. Joshua is old. Caleb comes up to him. And in essence, what I get out of this is, for my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Let's start at verses 6. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, 'The land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord your God.'" And I'll stop there. Yeah, I think I had a right to be frustrated, or a reason enough to be frustrated after 2 years. If I talked to Caleb, that was 45 years. That's a long time. I haven't even lived 45 years. But for 45 years, and what I really feel or sense that God would be speaking to us and to me right now is that, and in that moment of me telling God that I'm really frustrated, God giving me perspective, you're saying, "Savo, what is your part? What you have a part to play?" Caleb said, "For my part, I followed the Lord God wholeheartedly." And then later on, it says, "Because you followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly, that he was given the land that he was promised." Caleb could have been really frustrated. I do not know what it's like for you guys or for me, just thinking about it. It's hard to go about 45 years watching your friends and peers die off. In essence, you're waiting for everybody to die, all those guys your age to die before you can see the promised land. And for you to be so close to the promised land and then have to turn around and wander in the desert for a long time. And for you to also know that God is able to do anything and God was able to give them the land. Him and Joshua continue to encourage them that do not rebel against the Lord. Only believe him. He will wipe everybody out. But then they rebelled against the Lord. Not just that time, but for the rest of their journey in the desert, that was what was going on. And so Caleb heard this again and again and again, 45 years. That can get old. I think for the most stout-hearted person, the most faithful person, that time and just circumstances and different things like that, life itself has this way of chipping away at our commitment to God, that our focus on him, loving him with everything that we are wholeheartedly and loving others, that it just happens. And so that's kind of what God was showing me. That yeah, you're being distracted by so many other things, and yes, there are legitimate distractions, but I still am God. I still am with you. And I still require of you. No, I don't require. I demand of you to give me everything. Wholeheartedly committed to me. The biggest thing that I think that we struggle with is a commitment issue. I think for me, personally, I'd move my level of commitment to a different level, because I think that if I'm wholeheartedly committed and after 2 years, it was only 2 years of struggling some, and I'm thinking, God, this is so hard. Why do you want to put me through all of this? You know, I can easily coast, or I can move somewhere else. For 11 years, I prayed for my back. And I shared with you how God healed my back. But I need to be honest with you. There was a good part of that, that after a while of praying for my back, I stopped praying for my back. And the challenge was, well, I only stopped praying for my back. How about praying for other people to be healed? Does God really heal when he doesn't heal you? How many of you have really struggled with stuff like that? And so what is the safe thing to do is to guard our hearts, to get yourself to another level to where you're like, okay, God, I know you're there. I don't understand what's going on. This hurts. And so I won't be as zealous or as wholehearted as I was. I'll still believe you, but this is not easy. And so we lower our level of commitment to the Lord. And yet God has asked us for a wholehearted commitment to him. Wholehearted. There's a story that I read, and I don't mean this to be mean in any sense. It's just a story I read, and it got my attention. And it was talking about in World War II, about the kamikazes, and so how that they would, you know, fly their planes. The Japanese would fly their planes. The kamikazes would fly their planes into the ships that carried the aircraft, and then they would explode. And so I was just reading about that, and then they said they interviewed one kamikaze, which I thought that was interesting. You know, isn't he supposed to be dead? And so he's, you know, and what came out of all of that was that he said, hey, I was half-hearted. To be a kamikaze mean you were wholehearted given to this thing. You were doing it for till the death. You were going to die doing it. But this guy, he found a way not to die. Half-hearted kamikaze. That's just an oxymoron. Do you know, I think it's exactly the same thing. I think God sees it exactly the same way if we're hard-hearted, half-hearted followers of him. We're supposed to be wholehearted, devoted to him. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 16:9, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro the earth, seeking those whose hearts are fully committed to him, that he would give them strength. God gives us strength when we are fully committed to him. And so I do not know in your life if there's any area that you feel like, oh God, I don't know, check my heart is a good prayer. But sometimes it's really important for us to be able to check and see, God, am I fully committed to you? Am I wholeheartedly following you? Caleb said, for my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. I would like to say, for my part, I am wholeheartedly following the Lord my God. Are you? Are you wholeheartedly following the Lord your God in every area of your life? And life has come at you in many different ways. But I think that's the thing that God is looking for, that he would give you strength to be wholehearted in case you're struggling with it, in case you feel like, I'm weak, God. This is hard to do. So God gave me perspective. And he reminded me about what my part was, to love him, to serve him with all that I am. God deserves no less. He demands no less. Anything outside of that is less than what he expects of us or desires from us. But he gives strength for us. I'm reminded of Proverbs 3, a scripture, a passage in there, I think it's verses 4 and 5, or verses 5, where it says, do not let love and faithfulness leave you. It says, bind them around your neck and write it on the tablet of your heart. In essence, never let this leave you. Be wholeheartedly committed to God, no matter what life throws at you. For the eyes of the Lord look to and fro, seeing those who are wholeheartedly committed to him, that he would strengthen them. Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to share your truth, God, but I pray that you would help us to be those who bind love and faithfulness around our neck and write it on a tablet of our hearts. God, that we would not lower our level of commitment to you, that we would not be half-hearted followers, but wholeheartedly devoted to you. And that we would serve our part that you've given us here, that we would be fully committed to you in every sense, in every way. So God, help us to do that. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.